All right. So hello, everybody, and welcome to another round of how to do the elimination provocation process and do it right and get the best results you possibly can. I'm looking forward to just going through step by step. Again, the elimination phase. I know some of you have read a lot of it and are jumping ahead, and that's great. Gina said yesterday that she already started it. Even on day one, she was feeling so much better. So that means that something that she was eating, right, was bothering her. And I have my lights on. Yes, I do. Is jump right in. Unless there's some really pressing questions, then I want to take them right at the beginning. But otherwise, I want to jump right in and show you the step-by-step of doing the elimination. On Friday, we talked a lot about the preparation part, like filling out your forms and getting all ready. And then we started to go through the phases of the elimination. And I created a really nice document. So I took everything we talked about, I put it into a nice document and also put it on the page. So I want to go through the phases, because some people, like Gina said, she just jumped right in and did all the phases at the same time, which is fine. But I want to have... So that doesn't work for everybody, because it can create, like we said, some super detox type symptoms, withdrawal type symptoms, if there's an oxalate problem, oxalate dumping type symptoms, etc. So what I'm going to do is share my screen, and I'm going to go to the site. Let's see, I have it open right find it. I know I had all those open and the Facebook one is separate. Here we go. Okay. So before I jump in on that, I want to show you the page I set up to keep track of our recordings. I didn't want them to get lost in the shuffle with other recordings and other prep things and all that. So I created a page. And if you go on your site and you look where it says live session library, at the very bottom, it says live elimination diet live sessions. Okay, and on here, I have the dates of the recordings of the ones, and then the upcoming, session three is today, preview of provocation plus support, the 13th, that's today, and that will be highlighted afterwards, the date taken off, and it will be the temporary recording right now. And as my team gets to it, there's a lot of recordings that are happening right now, we'll edit and put them up here too. And then the deep dive on the provocation process on Saturday. So that's what I have there. Now let's go back to the preparation page, and I'll show you what I added to the preparation page. So I added a little form if you want to keep track of just your symptoms. Now it's going to make me save it, but I shouldn't have to. It'll make you save it to your place, but what I'm going to do is open it up in my other window where I still had it there, and it went away. Okay, so I will do this. You'll have to save it, because I don't want you editing my form, right? So it doesn't make mess for everybody else. So I'll make a copy, and you just click make a copy, and it shows you the form. And what I did was I allowed you to have a place where you could put, you know, headaches, bloating, whatever experience symptoms you've been experiencing that you want to get rid of across the top. And then you're going to go down here and pick a date. So say I have bloating, and it's today at 1:13:21 at 2 p.m. My bloating is at a 4. And later on at 4 p.m., it's at an 8. So if you're keeping track of your food, you're going to be able to go back and look, well, what the heck happened between 2 and 4 that caused me to get bloated like that? Okay. Maybe it'll be lower. Then you want to also think about, well, what happened that caused it to be high, and what's happening to cause it to go low. You will more or less want to see the things going lower because you're on an elimination diet, right? And the bloating was related to stuff you've been removing. The more further you get from having had that food in your system, the more it's going to go away. But you can put any of your symptoms you want. You just put them in these boxes. Now, if you don't want to do it this way, you want to print it, you go file, print, it shows you the form, And I put in enough for 4 pages of this, but you can certainly print more. You just print it twice and you can print it out, staple it together, and then carry it around with you and fill it out. Whatever works for you. The beauty of doing it on the Google Form is that it's also accessible from your iPad, from your telephone, Android or Apple. So it makes it much easier to deal with. Okay. Any questions on that before we move on?
What was the 2 and the 4, Dr. Rita Marie?
Well, that was just, for me, rating out of 10. See, it says 0 to 10. If I didn't have any bloating, I'd put a 0.
Got it.
Okay. Right. And if I had the worst bloating ever, I'd put a 10. You could put a 0 to 10.
Okay. Got it. Thank you.
Yeah, you're welcome. And if you put a 19, then I know it's really bad. So
I have a question. What if we're starting from a place of being bloated? So it's like,
well, yeah, you're going to write that down. Yeah, absolutely. Whatever current symptoms you're experiencing are the ones you're going to put across here.
Yeah, well, I just mean in the sense of with the 1 to 10 scale, you know, it's like I'm not starting at like 0 or 1.
Nobody's starting at 0. Nobody's starting at 0. Right.
So I'm just guessing because I don't even know, like, to be honest. Like,
is it serious? Is it overwhelming? Is it 0 means you don't have any bloating? Yeah. 1 means it's there, it's mild, it's no big deal. 5 means it's kind of in your face, but not terrible. But 10 is like, it's there. It's doubling you over. It's bad. Okay. Yeah. But you start where I should say that. That's a good question, Stephanie. Start with like, put the first entry being right now, baseline, wherever you're starting from. And it doesn't mean like baseline of last week. It means today, now, right? Where are you starting from? And you just have to, this is all subjective, right? There's no way that I can know if your headache's worse than my headache because you gave it an 8 and I gave it a 4. It's pain tolerance, et cetera. But it's all subjective with relationship to us. And so you're going to be using that same kind of scale throughout.
Yeah, I guess because in my mind, I'm also wondering almost if you want to start your baseline as 0, wherever that is, and then it could be a negative or a positive.
No.
So I don't want to do that.
I want the absolute. I really do. And there's a lot of reasons for that. And I don't want to go into all of it for now, but it's real. When you do relative, you're not getting absolute. And when you do, if you said to me, I said to you, how bad was your bloating last Wednesday? You'd go, I don't remember. I don't know. So if you're having to start at a baseline, since you don't have 0, right? 0 has got to be 0. It's non-existent because that's where we want to get you to. And how far back can you go with negatives? Like you could keep going backwards. I want an absolute baseline. 0 is miserable, is fine, beautiful, great, the way I want it to be. And 10 is miserable, awful. I want to get rid of it. Right? Yeah, absolutely. Thank you for the suggestion. Okay. So next, the other thing I added, and I think I showed you the other day, was, I added these food religions symptom chart. Again, blah, blah, blah. You open that up. For some reason, it won't do this to you. Make a copy, and then you have the symptoms. Right. So the first one, see down here, it says instructions. That's the instructions. The second one says the symptom chart. So I separated them because what happened was because the instructions were long, as you scrolled down the page, you couldn't see the symptoms very well. So it's 2 separate pages, right? And that way you can print this out if you wanted to. Now, I don't know how your printer is going to work for it. It might be hard to do it, but Wheaton was saying it was hard to print because it squished all together. If I just go to File, Print, this is what it looks like, right? It is small. If you wanted to spread it out, you can hit landscape and it'll make it a little bigger, right? I think it goes, it just spreads it. It doesn't do much, all right? So you just break, basically that's the way it goes. It prints. I think it's like, it put it all on one page. Okay, so here's how you can change this. You can say 100%. In which case it's going to print it on multiple pages. See that? But if you go landscape, that's how you do it, 100%, then you have everything on there. So play with the settings and figure out what the best way to do it is based on your printer. Okay, so that's that one. So
I have another question, Dr. Rita.
Sure.
Can you clarify again how to interpret that chart to make sure I'm reading it correctly?
Mm-hmm.
So for example, so under the headache, so there's some red and greens. So yep. Does that mean low histamine is red? What is that?
Yeah, it means that if you have a problem with histamines, that symptom, plus not just one symptom, right? Because there's a lot of overlap. But if you have a cluster of like five symptoms on one of these particular, like low histamine, then you may consider, and we'll get to that when we look at phase three, eliminating histamines for a while to see if it makes a difference. Like it could be a histamine related headache, but if you just have a headache, we don't know it's a histamine related headache, unless you also have, you know, redness and dizziness and rashes, allergic type reactions, fatigue, you know, so you want to have a cluster of those. And just because you have a cluster doesn't mean that that's the problem, because there can be overlap. So basically it means that if you have all these symptoms, probably a low oxalate diet is what you need to be doing. Or if you have a good majority of these symptoms, then probably a low oxalate diet is something to check out. Okay. Yellow means it may be associated with that, but maybe not. Green means there's no known association that we could find between that. If it's still white, it means that we just haven't, and I have some updates to this to put in here, but it means that we've been researching, we just haven't found an association with those particular symptoms and that particular food thing. But these are the main symptoms. So it's just trying to give you a general idea. It is not like taking a test that says you have an oxalate sensitivity or you have a histamine sensitivity. It's just a general guideline to say, does it even make sense? Because a lot of people go on these summits and Facebook lives and whatever, and they hear about a low lectin diet or a low oxalate diet. They go, maybe that's my problem. And then you just try it. Here's a way to say, well, I don't think it is. Right? I don't think it is, because I'm not really having very many of those symptoms. Okay.
Okay. Got it. Thank you.
Yeah, you're welcome. And I have the similar chart for the foods, which I don't know if I showed you the other day or not. Oh, why is it doing this verify it's you thing? It's me. It's been me. It's been me all day. Make a copy. There you go. It takes a little while it opens to get these aligned, right? But okay, so it has the same top, but then it's, well, what foods, if I decide, yeah, I really need to do this low oxalate or low histamine, what is the foods that I absolutely should avoid, red, B, pay attention to, yellow, or can eat, green? Okay. And again, there's some of them that, you know, search as we will, we haven't found this. Some of these are, I think this is an old version of the chart. I have to find the latest version of the chart because I had a lot more of these filled in. So I'll just replace it with the latest version. I just couldn't find it the other day. Okay. Makes sense?
This chart's a huge help. Thank you very much for creating it.
You're welcome. It was hours and hours and hours and hours and hours of work. So I'm glad it's helpful, because it's really hard. And there are more updates to it. I'm just not sure what happened to it. I found this one that had an old date on it, and I can't find the most recent one. So I'm hoping that I find it somewhere and I can replace it, because I had filled in a lot more of these. There was just a handful that weren't. Okay.
So Dr. Rita Marie, I was looking for the Swiss chart on this list, and I did not find it, but I happened to find it in one of your slides the other day.
Yeah. Yeah. I can't guarantee that I put every food imaginable on this. I tried. Yeah. It might be under chard, not Swiss chard.
Okay.
It's there. Chard.
Chard. Okay.
Right. Got so it. When you look at things up, look up various kinds of the variations on the different names. Okay.
Got it. Thank you.
You're welcome. All right. And then finally, I just put in for more details, some slides of a presentation I did that gives you like lists in, you know, just a different way. Okay. And you're welcome to use those, or if they're not useful, skip them. No big deal. Okay. So before we move on to the elimination part. Are there any questions on that? Okay, know that this is not an easy process, right? There's a lot here and I don't want you to go crazy. Like, that's why I decided to separate it into three phases. So I'll be updating this chart probably with some of the stuff I'm doing today, this video, because this video, it's older and it doesn't separate things into the three phases. It just goes right into the rare foods diet.
Dr. Rita Marie.
Yeah.
Could you show us again where that new chart is?
The one,
that you're just talking about. It's
this page, the preparation, elimination diet preparation, which came from here, which is either that page or the other Discover Your Food Sensitivities. So it's the preparation phase.
Okay. And then it's at the very bottom of that?
It's at the bottom of that. It was like steps 5 and 6 or 5 or 4 or something like that. Yeah.
All right. Thank you.
You're welcome. All right. So ready to plan. So what I did was I phased things into three phases. The first phase is just everybody should get. It's mostly the 6 top foods plus inflammatory fats and high glycemics. So gluten, dairy, corn, soy, eggs, and peanuts, plus whatever you know you're allergic to, plus inflammatory fats and high glycemic fruits. So it's really a basic elimination diet. And I would say, if you're not already off of all these things, some of you might be, do it for a few days. Just do it for a few days. All right. 4 days even. And if you're not getting better, you're not seeing any improvement, then move on to phase 2. If you are seeing some improvement, but not a lot of improvement, then move on to phase 2. But do this first so we know, because if we just dump a whole lot of stuff all at the same time, it's less likely that we're going to have a good estimation of the suspects. So the next phase, not everybody needs to move here. Some people do fine after just removing these things. I suggest everybody just get rid of alcohol and caffeine, most caffeine anyway, forever. Right? Because they're just bad. They're just hurting your gut. They actually bore holes in your gut. They thin the mucous membrane of your lining. But I put this in phase 2. So alcoholic beverages, caffeine, including coffee, chocolate, and black tea. Green tea is usually fine for a lot of people. But if you're super sensitive to caffeine, even green tea can be problematic. The issue with green tea, well, it has some caffeine, but it also has like so many antioxidants and so much support that it could be just fine. But take it out for a few days and see, right? And then add it back. Nightshades. People go nuts with, do I have to get rid of nightshades? The truth of the matter is it's maybe 5 to 10% of the population that truly has a nightshade sensitivity. So what are nightshades? They are in the family that includes potatoes, tomatoes, bell peppers, eggplant, okay? And cayenne and those kinds of peppers, chipotle and things like that. So it's a hard group to avoid if you don't have to, right? Mostly the symptoms, there's other symptoms, but mostly the symptoms are gonna be joint pains. Like people who think they have arthritis and they really have a nightshade sensitivity. And then the 12th group is nuts and seeds. Now, why do I lump them all together? Even though I said there's no such thing as a nut allergy, there's individual nut allergies or individual seed allergies, is because if you have an issue with digesting fats, if you have an issue with sensitivity to any one of these foods, if you have an issue to things like lectins and oxalates, et cetera, you're covered when you at least temporarily, a few days, 4 days, eliminate the nuts and seeds and then add them back. So it could preclude you having to even get to phase 3, right? It could preclude you not having to go crazy with, you've got to avoid kale because it's high oxalate or this because it's high oxalate. Just eliminating some of the higher oxalate foods to begin with are going to help you there. So I'm trying to make it as easy as possible and not have you go crazy and end up with a diet that's 5 foods, Wheaton, right? 5 foods, okay, that's all I can eat for another month. Yeah, how compliant can you be with that? It's really, really hard, all right? Plus you may get some detox reactions. So I'm kind of going through this in a systematic way. And then phase three is an optional phase. You only need to do it if you're not experiencing improvement after removing phase one and phase two and staying off for at least 4 days. So let me go back to our suspicious food chart and the way we marked everything in yellow, green, or red. So I had you mark in green only those foods you didn't eat often. But a lot of people don't even have a lot of those foods or know even where to get some of those foods that they don't eat often. So I want you to eliminate the foods you crave. Foods you crave generally mean that there's some reaction in your body that makes you want more. So if it's sugar or sugar is actually because of the glycemic kind of response usually. Gluten and casein have what's called morphine-like substances, caseomorphine, gluteomorphines, and some of the other grains have those as well. So when we get down to this phase, we've already removed the grains. We've already removed most of the foods. I don't want you to get crazy and have to remove all the fruits and vegetables if you don't need to. So the foods you crave, you probably already have all those foods gone by now. Very few people crave broccoli, green beans, zucchini, right? Very few. Some people do. Foods you eat often, and what does that mean? Well, it's relative. If you have foods that you eat 4 or 5 times a day, and you're still eating them 4 or 5 times a day, or you're still eating them 4 or 5 times a week, by the time you get to phase three, and you're still having symptoms, it's likely something that's in that foods you generally eat a lot of. And that's where I had you mark them. And then you want to get rid of the ones you eat most often first. And say, unless you know, every time I eat kale, I just feel like on cloud nine, I just feel like it really grounds me. It makes me feel good. My symptoms go down. Then don't eliminate it. But foods you eat often can be suspect. All of this is detailed and I'll show you. This is just a general outline. High oxalate foods, because I pulled that out because it's a most of all those food constituents to have sensitivity to. I think oxalates tends to be the most common. And then other food constituents you suspect based on the food's religion. So I'm going to show you how detailed I got in this document. It's a 7-page document. I go through the process. Every single one has a description and it has lists of foods. So by the time I get to, this is the first group to make it real easy for you. I even created some documents that will give you more details on what you can eat and what you shouldn't eat based on it. There's the oil change. There's the sugar document, or there's the page, actually, the ditch dairy page. And then there's the gluten-free page. And there's on those are documents that have all the little hidden sources so you know what you're doing. When you get to phase two, not everybody needs to proceed here. If after removing all the 8 food groups in the top, you're feeling great, you can move on to reintroduction. Yay. It doesn't mean that everything's down to zero, but it's pretty darn close. And there's nothing that's really, really high priority at this point. If you haven't seen any or much improvement, then you're going to either stay on elimination phase one for longer or move to phase two. And it's up to you to decide that. If you just decide, well, maybe I just need to be off of these a little longer, then go for it, because it's hard to go and add more foods. But if after a couple of weeks on it, you're still not feeling better, then you move to phase two. But you get to decide, like some of you have already gone to phase two. Some of you are fine with that. Everybody's a little different. And I want to make sure that we honor you as an individual. Then I talk about alcohol. I talk about the nightshades, what they are, what foods are in them. And then I talk about the nuts and seeds. When we move on to phase three, I talk about foods you crave, why, what I just said. So everything I just said is in here. Foods you eat often, more than 3 times a week, except ones that you know, et cetera, et cetera. And then the high oxalate foods. Okay. And then the food religions, I'm sending you back to that page if you haven't already gotten them to look at these charts, these guys. Okay. And then that'll list if you suspect oxalates. So if you're just in that phase of, let's see, I'm not doing well, let's get rid of the oxalates because I do have a lot of symptoms, then you work on just the oxalates. And you can work on these one at a time. If you remove the oxalates, you feel a little better, but not quite. And you have a lot of symptoms in the, let's say, histamine column, then you do that with the same thing with histamine. But it's all up to you, whether you're a cold turkey kind of person or whether you're a, like, just let me put my feet in and toes in and get used to the water slowly kind of person. Okay. And this is where we're going to have the most questions. So I want to make sure that we spend time with this. Once you've removed all of these foods from all of these applicable, whatever's applicable to you, make sure you're off of them for at least 4 days. Some people, it might be longer, it might be 8 days. But in the meantime, we're going to make sure that you're following the gut healing suggestions on the elimination diet reintroduction page. Because if you just remove these things and you don't heal your gut, you're not going to solve the problem long-term, right? And then there's ways to record and all that. So highly recommend you all do the chronometer. I put the link there to keep track. And then I also have that new form I just created for you, which is this one, right? Yeah, that you can use to keep track. It's detective work. So post in the group, come to a call, ask questions as you start to do this to see what help you need to support you here. Okay, so I'm going to pause. I'm going to check Facebook to see if anybody's there and if there's any questions there. If there's any questions here, open your line and just shout them out because I can't do four things at the same time. How do you get on Zoom? It looks like you're on already, Ronnie. Yeah.
But I do have a question. You were talking about sugar alcohols. I've got a stevia plant. So the only sweetener that I've got is the erythritol, and you're saying that could be an issue, blah, blah. Okay, so I can get rid of that. But the stevia, is a stevia leaf the same as the stevia powder? Is that a sugar alcohol?
No, it's none of neither of them are. And if you look at my sheet, it says sugar, stevia and Lohan are just fine.
Oh.
The one to avoid with stevia is that white granulated. That's crap. That's garbage. It's processed. It's extracted. It's not good.
But so the drops are okay, but not the powder.
The drops are good because what they do is they take the leaves that you have on your plant, they boil them down, kind of like we do with decoctions, right, and stuff. And then they have the extract that way, right? The green one, you can get it from Frontier and other places. It's just dehydrated green stevia leaves, or the green stevia leaves are the best. Yes. The alcohol, sugar alcohol, a lot of people have problems, but a lot of people don't. So if you tend to be somebody who has a lot of gut issues and bloating and gas and dysbiosis type symptoms, you may have a problem with it. Here's the deal in sugar alcohols. Sorbitol and mannitol are the worst. They are known to have very high probability of causing GI upset.
Yeah, that's
xylitol next. Yeah. And it has to be usually larger amounts. Erythritol usually has the least likelihood. And I always thought it was super safe until I met a few people who said, no, I ate your chocolates last week and you had erythritol, and I ate somebody else's this last week and it had erythritol and I can't tolerate erythritol. So some people don't. So why take the chance? If we don't know whether you tolerate it or not on here and you're having GI symptoms, let's just get rid of it and just stick with stevia leaves or Lohan, the pure Lohan. Because if you look at Lakanta has a Lohan, they have a pure Lohan, and then they have a Lohan sweetener that has mostly erythritol.
Yeah.
So just read your labels. And I've seen dextrose in Lohans. It's like
stevia is supposed to be high histamine.
Okay, well then I haven't seen that. So, and you use so little, I can't even imagine. But if it causes a histamine-like reaction and you have a histamine problem, then stay away from the stevia. Yeah. Yeah. I mean, the thing about some of these is if a food has high histamine and you're going to eat a bowl of it, and a food has high histamine and you're going to take this little tiny pinch and put it on, the likelihood of the pinch causing a problem is not great because it's amounts. None of this is 100% avoidance because you can't. They're all there. And again, if you have a histamine problem, we got to work on a histamine problem, because a histamine problem means that there's problems with your body degrading histamines. And foods have them and your body produces them. Like when you have a cold or snuffy eyes or an allergy where your eyes are running, that's a histamine reaction. So anybody that looks at, if histamines show up for you, I highly recommend that you look at vitamin C and quercetin as supplements to take. And you can take them prophylactically, like before you eat those foods to prevent it, or you can take them. They work really well if you've had a reaction. If you're in a histamine-like reaction, you take them, right? And they, it gets rid of them, and you have to take them every few hours. But quercetin and vitamin C, wonders for it. Be careful with not too much vitamin C if you have also an oxalate problem, because there are some suggestions that high oxalates. I know it gets kind of crazy, and I don't want you to go crazy. I want you to just simplify, do it one at a time, right? And then when you try to do both, that's why I created that chart. It's like, if I'm trying to avoid histamines and oxalates, I want to see what the overlap is all in one place. But thank you for that. Anybody else have questions?
Dr. Ruth-Marie, I have a question.
Yeah.
A couple of them, actually. So, you know, I started on the old videos in the old sheets. And so I have a question on how do I proceed? So I did the 4-day water fast.
Yep.
And my main symptoms are stuffy nose and like vulvodynia, vaginal type symptoms. The vulvodynia and the lichen, it's mostly under control anyway, just like eating gluten-free. But the stuffy nose went away by the third day of the water fast. So then I started on, you told me to do the rare foods diet coming off the water fast, like did a smoothie and then the rare foods diet.
Mm-hmm.
But the symptoms came back.
Okay. So this is where this chart that you're looking at right here can be helpful. Okay. So if you're keeping track of all your meals and you're keeping track of your sinus, right? And you find that you were 0, 0, 0, and all of a sudden you're a 4. Then you go, okay, what did I do in this time period that could have triggered this? And then you look back at your food charts. Okay.
And I am tracking it on the other form, the original form. It doesn't really seem to change like during the day or with different meals. It's just, it's not extreme. I mean,
but
I
at some point it came back.
Yeah, I know exactly. Right. It came back. It came back with the first whole food meal.
Okay.
I know exactly.
So look at that meal, look at the foods you had and see if they are high in histamine.
Okay, because you think it might be histamine. Okay.
Look at the chart. It might be histamine. It might be a digestive thing that you're just not digesting and breaking things down well enough. And then going ahead and seeing if those foods were high in histamine.
Okay.
If they are, then suspect it and then try this. Have that same thing and have some quercetin and vitamin C with it. 500 to 1,000 milligrams of quercetin. And it could be a gram or two of vitamin C.
500 to
1,000. I wouldn't go too high on it. If you have vulvodynia, there could be an oxalate sensitivity.
Yeah. Of quercetin.
Yeah. 500 to 1,000 of quercetin. And I would say 1,000 to 2,000 if you can of C, at least to try it out and see if it helps it.
What brand of quercetin do you like?
I use micro ingredients, powdered quercetin.
And so go back to that first meal, take this about 15. So I would take this with the bitters.
Yeah, you could do that. You could take it with the bitters or
before the meal. Okay. But do I have to go like do a fast again to get the nose clear again? Because it's
never... Well, on the fast, you said it was 3 days in. It wasn't
four. Yeah. 3 days in it cleared. Cause I have slow motility. So I think that's why.
That might be a big reason. Yeah.
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 And I know I have high methane and gut dysbiosis. So I don't know if it's just, look, anything I'm going to eat is just going
to
do this.
It could be that, right? So that's why I say, look at the chart to see if it is histamine, if those tend to be high in the histamine. But if not, it's it could be digestion, right?
And would the quercetin and vitamin C help if it's just digestion?
Since a nose, is it a runny nose or a stuffy nose?
It's stuffy.
It's stuffy. So if it was runny, for sure it would help. If it's stuffy, it may help, right? Because it's mucus buildup.
Okay. Right? Yeah, it's mucus. Because mucus started coming out with my stool on the third day of the fast.
I mean, you could certainly try a 24-hour fast and see if that does the trick.
Okay.
What was it for the runny nose?
Say that again.
What was it for the runny nose?
Well, if it's runny nose, it's more likely to be histamine, because histamines cause the running and the reddening and the running of the sinuses and the eyes.
And my other question, Dr. Rita Marie, is where does back pain go on that list of symptoms? Would that be under muscle pain?
Yeah. I mean, we didn't want to, we could be there all day separating every part, right? I would put it under muscle or joint
pain. Okay. So if I go down there and I look and like, I looked at them all, I totaled up the ones that I have, and the one that has the diet that has the most for me is that body ecology.
Okay. That's a yeast overgrowth.
Right.
Exactly. Yeah. Yeast or fungal.
Then once I know that, what do I do with that information?
So that's something to address. We address it in, we address all of that in the gut program, the gut repair program. We have a whole section on, herbs and foods and all that stuff for handling the dysbiosis related to fungal overgrowth.
Okay. And my final question is, how long do I stay on this rare foods?
Is that the only symptom that came back or that you're concerned about? I mean,
that's the only one that came back. I mean, the vaginal issues didn't get any worse or anything since I started back eating.
Yeah. So, I mean, I would say you could try, if those are the only symptoms you're going for, we want to get it back gone, right? How about gut, right? How do you said you have slow motility. How does that present itself? Do you have bloating, gas? What's that?
Constipation and bloating.
Okay, so then that's a symptom you're keeping track of. How did that do during the fast?
Well, it slowed, my bowels slowed down, and it seems like they haven't really picked back up since the fast. Like, I was going more regularly and easier before the fast.
Yes.
And now,
that's very common during a fast that things slow down for the few days after, because you've had this 4-day period where nothing's in there pushing things along. So you might look at a natural laxative type of thing to just clear things out, or an enema to clear the things out that have built up.
Yeah. And I did a water and a coffee enema like the third day.
Okay.
The fast. So I might do another one tomorrow.
I might do another one to get things moving again. And then looking at, I think I told you about Modal Pro,
what's that?
So if you've got methane gas and you've got some indication of SIBO and you've got a slow, what's called the migrating motor complex,
mm-hmm.
And it's controlled a lot by the vagus nerve.
Yeah.
And there's a supplement from Prior Encapsulations called Motil Pro, MOTILPRO.
Okay.
I might've mentioned it to somebody else on another call. I just remember mentioning it lately. And that helps to move things along. Also, anything related to vagus nerve stimulation.
Yeah.
So there's a couple of places on the site, on the Empowered site. If those of you are in here and are on the Nutrition Lab, you're not going to have this, but there's a Stay in the Sweet Spot program. And I think it was whatever the week was that I talked about vagus nerve. There's some good stuff in there about the vagus nerve.
Okay. Yeah. I mean, I do the dry brushing.
But the stuff for vagus nerve is,
I don't like
kind of gross, but the book Accessing the Healing Power of the Vagus Nerve has amazing stuff in there. That's not necessarily, gag yourself and stick your fingers down your throat and all that kind of stuff.
Yeah.
So you may want to look at some of that.
Okay.
Okay.
Thank you so much.
Yeah. You're welcome.
That helps.
Who else has questions?
I'm sorry, I'm going to do this. I know you've just done this. I'm lost because I keep getting to older pages or older elimination diets. Jenny's just sent me a instructions. It's kind of like, I don't know why I can't find the...
Okay. So go into the site, Empowered Self-Care. The way you get there, you go to programs, you click on Empowered Self-Care. For those of you who are watching and you're in just the Nutrition Lab, you click on the Nutrition Lab. The same section is there.
So if I go to the Nutrition Lab, because I do find it there, I don't find it on the other end, on the other side.
Find it here?
Like if you're going into the programs, right?
Yeah.
And then you're going down to where? Self-Empowered Care?
Empowered Self-Care?
Empowered Self-Care?
You see it?
Is that where you're going? And then over to...
Don't even click that link. I don't know if those are up to date. I just click here.
Which is what?
On the empowered self-care, right? Where it says empowered self-care, don't go to the sub-menus, just click empowered self-care.
Empowered self-care. Ugh, sorry about that.
Okay. And then when you scroll down, you'll get to, you'll get to where it says discover your food sensitivities. There you go. Okay.
Empowered self-care, and then
preparation phase is where you have the link to those charts with the food religions on it.
It's not what I'm getting. You know what? I feel like it's wasting time to ask that. Just continue.
Yeah, okay. If you want to share your screen real quick, I can see what you're seeing.
Dr. Rita Marie, I just had a quick question regarding that. So if you go into the site and you click on ERC and try to then go down to the tile for elimination provocation process, from there you won't see the new things?
I don't see where you even see it. So
if you go to energy recharge right where you're at.
Yep.
And you click on just energy recharge.
Oh, you click on there. Okay.
Yeah. Click there, and then you scroll down, and there's a section that is the elimination provocation process. Right there.
Okay.
And if you go in through there, do you not see the new stuff? That's the way I've been told.
You should.
That's what I thought.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, there's a multiple ways depending on what program you're in. Yeah.
Okay, but you should still get to the new stuff, even if you
absolutely. There's only one page for each of these things.
Okay.
And they're all linked to. I just put them in multiple places. So if you're just in Empowered, if you're in Nutrition Lab, you see it. And if you're in ERC, you have different ways to get it.
Yep. Okay. Great. Thank
All right.
Sorry about that.
Sure. No worries.
I told Ronnie a different way in my instructions, and I thought, okay, did I just completely lead her?
Oh, maybe that's what got her confused.
Well, it's just like I kind of have come across older ones, and those sheets that you're working on, I don't know.
Okay, so if you're on this page,
hold on a minute. I'm trying to look at 1 second. Let me just.
All right, I'm going to answer Wheaton's while you do that. Go ahead. Okay.
Go ahead. Sorry.
You tell me what?
Please.
Oh, thanks, Ronnie. Can you tell me what SCDs and GAPs are? I don't know that
SCD is specific carbohydrate diet. And GAPS is the gut and psychology diet. And they're very similar. And they're basically similar. They're very similar to FODMAPs as well. But they're basically diets that were developed to help with people having problems with digesting specific types of carbohydrates.
Oh, okay. Thank you.
And there's, if something shows up and you're like, oh, I want to know more about this, I created my own SIBO diet page that's a combination of the best of all of that. And it's, if you're in ERC or any, it's also in Empowered. If you go to the gut repair, and it's on either the fourth or the fifth module in there. And there's a specific, Okay.
Thank you.
Yeah, you're welcome. Okay, it looks like Ronnie's not there anymore. Okay, anybody else have questions? Is it clear? Let me see if I can see the chat. Does everybody know what they're doing? Don't give up.
I have a question. This is Arlie.
Hi, Arlie.
I have been doing the foods on the Fasting with Feasting program for 2 months.
Okay.
I haven't been eating meat. On the chronometer, it always shows I'm not getting enough protein. I do feel better if I eat some fish, which I've done a couple of times.
Okay.
But I have a histamine issue for sure and an oxalate issue for sure. So I've taken all those foods out.
Okay.
And so I'm doing fasting with feasting without histamines or oxalates. I'm not sure what else to eliminate because I have a real problem with swelling and it's still happening.
So you're off gluten, you're off all of the main stuff there. It's possible that it's protein deficiency. So if you feel better with fish, I would add it back in. There's no reason. The fasting while feasting is a 5-day period where it's all plant-based and it's very specific calories and it's not meant to continue at that level because you'll slow down your metabolism and you'll gain weight as soon as you eat anything.
I'm not lowering the calories. I just picked those foods.
Right. Okay. So
I don't do well with nuts. So they're out as well.
Wow. So what are you eating then if you're not eating meat and you're not eating nuts and you're not eating grains? And what are you eating? What's like a typical meal for you?
I'm making for breakfast red cabbage with red onion and Jerusalem artichokes. Okay. I make blended soup every day with the vegetables that are okay. And I'm making a raw salad.
And have you put that into anything to see what calories are? Because that sounds very, very restricted in calories, very restricted in everything.
It's usually at least 1,000 to 1,200.
Is it? Uh-huh. Okay. And then have you done any symptom tracking like this? Like how often, what are the symptoms and when are they happening? So I would do this for a few days, track all of your symptoms, and then compare that to the foods. It may not be a food specific issue. It might be a digestive issue.
I just finished a supplement. It's supposed to cure leaky gut in a month.
There's no such thing. There's no such thing. Like everybody says, oh, it's on a leaky gut protocol, so it can't be that. You don't know if that worked for you. Do you have any testing? I mean, you're at the point, I'm not a big fan of like over the top testing, but if you've done all this and you've eliminated all those foods and you are eating enough calories, you're not getting enough protein, I would up that, then you need to do some testing to see what's going on. You may have some weird bug.
I've done loads of testing.
And have you had anybody help you to sort through it? Do you have a naturopath? Do you have a functional medicine practitioner?
I have an integrative medicine doctor who's helped me, and Lisa's about to help me.
Okay.
But I have also weird stuff coming up there that doesn't make a whole lot of sense to me. So maybe she will be able to see some things. My doctor made some suggestions, which I'm doing, but it's really a mystery. But I don't know if I need to eliminate more foods.
Well, make a list of all the foods you're eating.
I had a very high red blood cell folate reading. Mm-hmm. Do you know what that means?
It means you have too much folate.
Yeah.
It's either that you're not metabolizing it and it's staying in your bloodstream, but it's hard to know because we don't know if that's metabolized folate. Are you taking a folate supplement? And this is way beyond the scope of this right now, Orly. I'd say wait for all this stuff to ask Lisa. So if you want me to help you in the scope of this, what I would do is make a list of every single food like that you're currently eating, whatever that number is, post it on the Facebook group or bring it to one of these calls and show us. And if there's anything that I think might be a possibility that's hurting you, I'll tell you to take it out. But it sounds like you've already done most of the elimination.
Yes, I have. And I will do that.
Thank you. And then do this with the symptoms too. Just do this symptom tracking because some things come up when we don't even realize it. And sometimes it's a mystery for a while.
I started doing that. That's a good idea.
Okay. Thank you.
Thank you.
All right. Let's see. We have, I told about that for diet guidelines 68. David gave some suggestions if anybody wants for the printing. It said, a stevia drops, can I use the leaves? Yes. What percentage of the population is sensitive to nightshades? 5 to 10% at the most, probably at the lower end. Can someone please direct me the additional? Okay, got that. Quercetin. Oh, good. Thank you, David. David posted the link to the quercetin. That's the one I use. And I have seen miraculous responses when people come over with histamine reactions. I've had friends come over. We do potlucks. We used to before COVID once a month. Then we'd have people over and they go, I just had this reaction and I'm not sure what it is. And it'd be like a hive kind of reaction. And I could give them a drink of powdered quercetin, powdered vitamin C, get it all worked out. And within like 15 to 30 minutes, it's gone or significantly reduced. It's very, very, very potent. Now, of course, you know, just using it as an antihistamine is not solving the problem. We want to get to the problem, but, you know.
Dr. Rita Marie, I had a question. Does it make you tired, like something like Benadryl would?
No.
Oh, that's great.
No, it doesn't. So it's something that I think everybody should keep around. In the herbal class, the last session is going to be all like, what should you have in your herbal medicine chest, right? For urgent things that come up. And those are my go-tos. That, zinc lozenges, throat spray, there's a bunch of things. All right, good. Since most people get gas when they eat beans, do I record that symptom? Yeah, because not everybody gets gas when they eat beans. If you do, then there's an issue with you not breaking down the sugars properly. Starting to take enzymes and HCL with pepsin. Okay, good, David. We're tracking on chronometer. And symptoms on the tracker. Yeah, so you could track in chronometer as well. There's a note field where you can put your symptoms in as well. I just gave you this as an option that you can use if you want to see it more in a tabular fashion. Okay. All right, so I'll repeat on the quercetin, 500 milligrams to 1,000. And a maintenance dose, it's 500 milligrams 2-3 times a day. But if you're having an urgent reaction, I would say 500 to 1,000, vitamin C, 1,000 to 2,000, and then repeat it within, don't be afraid to repeat it within an hour until the sink goes down. All right, we ready to move to another section? Everybody good on elimination? Do you have any questions about your specific elimination? All right. Let's go to provocation reintroduction. I'm going to do this very briefly, and then we're going to do more of this deep dive on Saturday, but I'm just going to give you an overall. There's a video. Again, the videos are going to be updated, but you'll get some general good information. But this is the piece I want everybody to be focusing on. You may already move these as part of phase one or phase two or even phase three if you're there, but eliminate the foods that hurt your gut. So you're going to download this document. And these are the foods we've already gotten all of these. Pretty much we've gotten most of these out. So, and then there's foods that heal. If these foods that heal are on your okay list for now, start to introduce them, start to add them in. I mean, they're not introducing because you're already having them, but I would say, go ahead, increase foods that heal. And then the reintroduction phase. And this is 11 pages long. I think I might. Yeah. So as you start to introduce, I'm going to stop my share because I don't have anything else to share. I want to see you guys. So as you start to introduce foods, when do you introduce foods? That's the first question. When do you introduce foods? Well, if you've been doing the elimination and your symptoms have come down a lot, maybe they're not all the way to zero, but ideally they are. If they're not all the way to zero, then it's possible that it's not food related, right? That's what we're going to find out with the reintroduction. If they are, and they've been coming down, and maybe they plateaued and you got all the way down to 2 or 1 for most of your symptoms, and they're just not going any further, then you can probably test out reintroduction. It needs to be off of all of it for 4 days, okay? Ideally longer. 7, 10, 28, whatever it takes. If you're still having issues and you've been away from these foods for 4 days, it may just mean that you have to go longer. So you go longer. But when you're starting to feel really good and you're like, oh, wow, this is really cool, I'm going to start introducing foods, then that's the time to do it. When you reintroduce foods, you've got to do it slowly. I would say, depending on how restrictive your little elimination diet became, that determines how quickly you want to add foods back in. So if you've got like almost no foods and you're just like, I really need more food in my life, and there's a class of foods that you eliminated, like say the brassica family or something along those lines, then you can add a couple of foods from that at the same time. If you have a problem, if you have a reaction, then you know it's one of those foods. But if after you finish the elimination, you just sit down and eat a big meal of all the foods you used to eat before you eliminated and you have a reaction, you just wasted your time because it's going to be really hard to know. So I would say stay away from the top ones, those phase one ones. Don't introduce those first. Why? Because there's some issues there, right? There's some long-term issues. Don't introduce gluten. Be away from gluten for 6 months symptom-free before you even think about it. Okay. So pick a food. What do you miss the most? Other than chocolate chip cookies, right? We don't want to add chocolate chip cookies in. So is there anybody that's thinking about what one food is that they may miss the most in eliminating? Yeah.
Wheaton. Avocado.
Avocado. Okay. Wheaton. Do you have one? She raised her hand, but now she's frozen.
Chocolate.
Okay. So
you not afraid to cut that out, but I'm going to do it. I will test it.
I know that's a hard one. So you decide you're going to add avocado. Avocado and chocolate go really well together, by the way. So you decide that you've been away from avocado long enough. You're ready to add it back. With avocado, you got to be careful about like the too much because it's a fat and you may be just taxing your bile system as opposed to just having a problem with avocado. But you basically have avocado with your whatever you've been eating all along that's been keeping you feeling pretty good. So you've been feeling pretty good. You've eliminated all these foods. Symptoms have gone down. And the reason I say to track them and give them numbers is because you're not going to remember where they were. If you're better, but not 100% better, you're not going to remember that you are better in most cases, right? So I would ask Kim, if you've got this congestion back, is it the same intensity as it was, or is it lower or worse than before you did the fast?
It's lower.
Okay, good. So there's an improvement there. Mm-hmm. So if you go ahead and say, okay, I'm going to try avocado. I'm just going to take whatever I'm eating, the salad works well, or the stir fry or whatever you're eating during the elimination, you add avocado to it. You don't just add this much avocado unless you have a feeling you have an anaphylactic response. If you're afraid of that, then you can add this much avocado, wait for 20 minutes. If you don't have anaphylaxis from it, then you can go ahead and eat the whole avocado. But eat a comfortable amount, right? Don't eat a whole or two avocados if typically you would never eat that much because it just gets you full and your body can't handle it. So I would say add avocado to your lunch, add avocado to your dinner. The next day, add avocado to your lunch and dinner. You want to have it with breakfast, with chocolate, and make a chocolate pudding, go for it. But if you've been off of chocolate, then that's two things. But that's the only thing you add for 3 days. But you add it every day so that you know. Yeah, you get to binge on it. I know somebody who did it with nightshades and it was a summer. And she's like, I'm off of tomatoes and my neighbor brings me them. And she was like, I'm making gazpacho. Great. You make gazpacho. Her joints ached her and she said, I guess not. You know, that wasn't working for me. Right. Now it may be in the future that you can have smaller amounts of these things, but we need to test the system to see how you respond. Right. Because if you have an antibody reaction to it on Monday, but it's an IgA antibody reaction, it's delayed sensitivity, you may not feel it till Wednesday. So you have to keep eating it 4 days, 3 to 4 days. If you feel crappy when you eat it, you don't have to eat it for 3 or 4 days. You just stop. Make sense? But if you feel good, you go, okay, let me see how I feel the next day. Let me see how I feel the next day. Let me see how I feel the next day. Okay. Is this making sense? Okay. Question?
Do that for 3 days.
3 days, if you're on edge, like you're going, I'm not 100% sure, but I think I'm more bloated. I think I'm more, that food chart's going to help, or the symptom chart's going to help you because you'll have it like quantified. But if you're like, it may have caused me to have this weird thing happen. It may have caused me to have, let me try one more time. If you're not sure. But if you're pretty sure that it either was bad, you're out, it's out, or, hey, I feel really good. You know, I actually feel better than I did before I added the avocado. Great. Let's keep the avocado in.
Right. And then we can continue to keep the avocado in.
That's why we're doing it for multiple days in a row, because if you add avocado today and then you add broccoli tomorrow and then you add cauliflower on Wednesday and then on Wednesday you start feeling like crap, you don't know if it was the broccoli, the cauliflower, or the avocado. Right? So we're just trying to make it. As you get further along with it, you'll be able to discern better. But within that first week or two of introduction, just go slow.
If you eat something and you have a bad reaction, you feel bad immediately, should you wait 2 more days before you introduce something else?
Absolutely. You want to go back to ground zero. One of my mentors ages ago used to call it health haven. You want to go back to your health haven.
And like, what kind of beverages can we drink? I mean, if we're not able to drink tea or coffee, like
you can drink herbal tea, unless it's a problem. But water, what about water? That's all I ever drink is water or Gavita.
I mean, like in the morning, like, well, I'm still on the fasting phase and it's awfully difficult to just drink water. So like, can I drink that pick tea, you know, the fasting tea?
What's a fast? I don't know what it is.
You know that pick tea, P-I-Q-U-E.
Oh, peak. Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. Okay, that's how you say it.
Yeah, there's a fasting detox tea.
I don't know what's in it. So you make sure that you're not sensitive to anything in it.
I know. And that's just it because I'm sensitive to so much.
Yeah, like, so I drink ginger tea. I know I'm not sensitive to ginger. So I have a ginger tea bag in my bag and I drink that. You can use essential oils in your water. So if you have hot water and you add essential oils, those aren't going to trigger an allergy response.
Oh, that's good to know.
Right. So you put a little drop of peppermint oil, or I put a drop of On Guard oil because somebody was sneezing around me and I'm like, On Guard has all these things for supporting your immune system. So essential oil would be great. You could put essential oil in cold water or warm water.
Okay.
Okay.
Thanks.
Great. Anybody else? All right. So I will see you on Saturday if you can make it. Go ahead, Bronnie.
So the idea is to starve yourself for 4 days and then add one food at a time. Maybe the least offensive that you think, the one that might be the least offensive that you think is.
Yeah. Yeah. But you're not starving yourself. Hopefully you've got enough foods there to, and look at the chart I gave you, you know, see if you can pick one in each of the categories each day so you have a balance of food.
This call is up right away. I can listen to this again, right?
This requires me to go because my team will do it tomorrow. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to, as soon as Zoom gives me the okay that it's done, I will take that link and I'll put it on the page that I showed you here, this page. So I can't guarantee immediate turnaround because Zoom processing takes a little while. Okay. So if you go to this page, you go here, Elimination Diet Live Sessions.
Live set, yep.
Yep. And then on that page, what I'm going to do is I will replace where it says session 3. I'm going to replace this with the link.
Thumbs up. Thank you.
Okay. Yeah, I'll do my best to get it there as quickly as possible. But, you know, it sometimes takes hours. Yeah.
I have a question, Dr. Rita Marie. So you mentioned on Friday or Saturday about avocados, because right now I'm still taking, let's say, half of an avocado. Is that, like you said, part two, you said, of the elimination piece?
Well, I'm not telling anybody to get rid of avocados unless you have to.
Okay.
Like, unless you suspect it. Unless it's something you eat 3 times a day and it's a good thing to get rid of temporarily, or unless you have some issues with some of those other food constituents that avocado is a problem with. Like, for example, if we look at avocado on this list, okay. If you look at avocado on this list, let's find it top, avocado. If you have a problem with avocado, it could be that you have FODMAP, which means you have gut issues and there's gut overgrowth, bugs overgrowth, and they're eating it. Phenols, perhaps salicylates, definitely. Mm-hmm. So unless you have problems with those, so you would look up, well, do I have a problem with this, with the FODMAPs? Let's see. So if I look at FODMAPs and I, nope, I don't have any of these symptoms. Nope. And occasionally I have a little gas, no big deal. Probably no big deal. You look at salicylates. Okay. Do I have hyperactivity? Do I have any of these symptoms? And if you do have a bunch of those symptoms, then maybe you do want to eliminate avocado. And that's phase three. We do that in phase three.
Okay. Thank you for that explanation.
Sure. Lou?
I still need to take Dr. Data oat and acid test. Is there any way that I should not do that while I'm doing this? Any reason? Or
you need to look at their requirements. They're, like, each of those tests has a certain, don't eat this on certain days, make sure you eat this. So as long as you fill their requirements, you're fine.
Okay. Because you've postponed the retreat till February 19th for the ERC. So I now have time to get all that stuff done before that.
Oh, good.
Yay.
Yay. Well, you know, it turned out that it was supposed to, the email that was, that did go out, according to Infusionsoft, went out to zero people because they didn't load anybody in it. And then when they sent it out yesterday, they forgot to put the link in it. And it's only 3 days away. And I said, it's not in the cards. You know, it's just not in the cards. The heavens were trying to, you know, conspire to keep me from doing it on Friday. So it's now going to be in February.
Yeah.
Okay.
Thank you.
Yeah, you're welcome. Anybody else?
Dr. Rita Marie, it's Shelley here.
Yeah, Shelley.
Hi there. I got unexpectedly sick from a couple of these food sensitivity related issues. I went off of my antihistamine that I was taking because I knew I had really high histamine levels, and I'm seeing a naturopath. So there's a lot of stuff in the works here. I even saw an oxalate coach, but I'm down to no salicylates, no oxalates, and no histamines. But because I went off of my antihistamine to do a 24-hour urine test, and a 24-hour oxalate test, so that's 48 hours along with a couple of snafus. So then that put me at 48, I'm putting in 4 days with no antihistamines. I couldn't sleep any of that time. Wow. So it's been a really rough ride, like getting ejected out of a cannon. I'm trying to just eat at this point something, and the oxalate coach gave me like rice pancakes, make your own rice milk. And I don't even like lettuce I can have, but I'm so like whiplash from, oh my gosh, what do I eat? I'm just trying to keep the electrolytes on board and basically like doing a water fast at this point and trying to like add in a couple oxalate foods to keep myself from having too much dumping as best I can. And I'm like, okay, can I at least, and I'm starving, I'm really hungry, which is a good sign at least.
Yeah.
But I'm having lime water and electrolytes and like bicarb and calcium and potassium, little tiny bits with lime water, and slowly coming out of this hole that I managed to find myself in because I'm back on my antihistamines and the DAO, and I'm back on, which is for, you know, the histamines.
And the DAO is when you say antihistamines, you meant DAO.
DAO blocker. Okay. I'm on both. I'm on antihistamine at night to sleep, and I'm on DAO during the day to break down the histamine.
So avocados are not high oxalate. Can you
eat
avocados? But they're high salicylate. Oh yeah, you're in that issue of, yeah, wow. So I would, you know, maybe take the chart and see what you can find that you can eat that's in the
group. Partly I'm just communicating to you why I kind of dropped off the face of the earth. But the other part is like, anything, any such thing as like oil, like extracts of coffee that would taste good and not hurt me, or are those llama ones, like the llama drops, those extracts, do they have anything at all that could be?
The extracts should be okay versus the whole food.
Okay. And do you know the difference between their baking extracts and
I have no idea what that company is in even.
Oh, you don't? Okay.
Yeah.
Just curious.
Yeah. But there are extracts, you know, for flavor, there's essential oils, and then there's something called medicine flour that has really pure extracts.
Cool. Thank
you. Right. They have chocolate extract. They have coffee extract. They have a lot of that. So you're trying to get some flavor in you.
That's all I'm trying to do is just kind of.
And you need to work on healing your gut, right? Because that's clearly, there's some issues there.
Well, my doctor thinks I have a mast cell issue because we've done testing for my gut and it's not really that bad. So it looks like it's more genetic or mast cell related.
Mm.
So I don't know.
Wow.
Continued.
Intense. Yeah. Keep us posted.
So.
Okay. Anybody else? Yeah. Wheaton.
I have a quick question.
Yeah.
I just bought a
probiotic. Hang on 1 second. Wheaton was first.
Oh.
Yeah.
Okay. Sorry. So we introduced the avocado. Let's say we're fine for those 3 days and we're going to introduce a new food. Can we continue with the avocado or should
we
stop
that? You must continue. Yes, you should. Right. Okay. Maybe not as often, but you should because otherwise you're going to keep on this very limited diet. So we're trying to build your repertoire, but yeah, don't eat it 3 times a day, obviously, you know, just eat it the normal amount you would. Yeah. Yeah.
Okay. Absolutely. Thank you.
Yeah. You're right. You're welcome. Stephanie.
I was just wondering, I just ordered a probiotic powder. Should I hold off on that or can I have that with the diet?
I would test it. So I would do the elimination, you know, and get to the point where you're feeling better. And then you go, okay, let me just try this. And it may make you feel better because it's going to help you to rebalance your gut flora. So yeah. And just make sure it doesn't have rice flour in it and milk solids. And you just have to be careful of the brand.
Yeah, no, I got the custom probiotics that delactate free because it may be something SIBO. So I got something like that.
Right, so right. And go slowly. With probiotics, you want to go very slowly because you're changing the ecology and you create war when you try to change it too fast and then you don't feel
it. Yeah, that's why I was wondering if, you know, because I know it could create bloating and some of the symptoms that I already have.
Yeah, but wait till you get your bloating and stuff to go down a bit, right? Yeah. And then just add it and try it.
Okay, makes sense.
Because it could help a lot. Yeah.
Yeah.
All right, Christine. Okay, there you go. Nope, I'm trying to get you done. There you go.
There I am. What time on Saturday?
It's 1 p.m. Saturday and it's all listed right.
Oh, it's on there. Okay.
On the stage. Yep.
Okay. Then,
well, and you have to do the math to figure out what time it is for you.
Yeah, I know. I will. my other question is I'm going to start the water fast tomorrow. Okay. And I heard on an earlier one about adding more minerals, the hydration minerals to the water. Is that what you recommend?
You can certainly do that during a fast. It's basically a homeopathic type preparation and a saline. So very helpful. Rehydration drops can be helpful if you tend to be like one of these people that drinks and drinks and drinks and still feels thirsty.
Yeah. And then what was my last question was, okay. Oh, I was just listening. So we should get off all our probiotics when we're doing the water fast? No. Okay. Stay with our supplements that we've been doing.
That are critical. Okay. Yeah. Don't add new supplements, but yeah.
And then when you go off the water fast, I'm doing it for 4 days, that I should go like to real light, right? Like just juices and soups.
Right. And do it with the foods that are green for your elimination diet.
And just how long do I do that before I add like an animal protein?
I would say 3 days, probably.
Okay.
Yeah. Okay, make sure you take enzymes with anything tough to digest. When your body gets a break like that with fasting, you know, you have to slowly rev your digestion back up because it's been resting and it's been healing. And now all of a sudden you're going to throw a bunch of stuff into it and it makes
it. So 3 days and then I'm going to try to do one meal of juice and then like add fish, something really light.
Yeah. Something easy. Yeah.
Easy. Yeah. I'm not going to add a big steak or anything like that. Okay.
Good.
Those were my questions. That's it. Great. Thanks.
Awesome. That's it. I don't see any others in. Let me go back to, how do I get back?
Oh, Dr. Rita Marie?
Yeah.
I went back on my rare foods diet the first day when after my smoothie, and I just had fish, squash, and asparagus. So I looked it up. Those aren't high histamines. So.
And it was after that the congestion came back.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So I would guess, did you take digestive enzymes with those?
Yes.
Yeah. HCL with them or bitters? 15
HCL, I took the bitters, and then it's a plant-based digestive enzymes that Lisa had recommended.
Okay. And did you chew well? Did you
do it relaxed? I did all the right things slowly. Yep.
Yeah. So either one of those three is a problem. In which case, so it was squash, fish, and
asparagus.
Squash, fish, and asparagus. Mm-hmm. And it was all, that's kind of a tough, like your first day, your first meal after a fast is kind of, that's kind of hard to digest, right? Because it's complicated. I usually recommend something simple, like, you know, juice up an avocado or blend up an avocado.
Smoothie before that, like the first meal. The first meal
was a smoothie. Okay, yes. And how many ingredients?
There's probably 6 or 7 ingredients. It's a supplement smoothie.
So that's the thing. And it came back right after that?
No, it didn't come back until the solid food.
Until the solid food. Yeah. So it could be that it was too much to digest all in the first day. Like I said, who just asked me that when I said about the third day, maybe. Yeah. And it's all, everybody's different, right? So you just have to go, I go very simple. I stick to like 3 ingredients. Some people just stick to 1. I mean, if I'm doing a longer fast, I would just do 1 ingredient. But with 5 days, I just would do like 3 ingredients. Okay. And if you feel not so good, then there's something, maybe it could be one of those 3 foods. So I would put those on the suspect list.
Okay.
Eliminate those 3 foods for 4 days and see if that makes a difference.
Okay.
Okay.
All right. Thanks.
Great. Wheaton?
Sorry. A quick question about cocoyo. I'm eating it and I'm not getting bloating so much, but I'm noticing a little bit of cramping, and I don't know if it's the yogurt or it's the probiotics.
How much are you eating of it?
The container.
The whole container? Okay. Yeah. Cramping in which area?
In my stomach, upper stomach.
The upper part of your stomach. So on the left-hand side, right below your rib cage.
No, right along the whole middle, in the center of my upper belly.
Along your belly. So if your belly button's in the middle, is it above your belly button, below, or right around the same level?
Above.
Both?
Above my belly button.
Above. Okay. And is it more center or more towards, it's more center? I'm just trying to locate, like, where is the cramping happening, right? Is it happening in your stomach or your small intestine? It's most likely your small intestine, the duodenum. How long after you eat it are you getting that?
Within 5-10 minutes.
Yeah. It could be stomach then. Hard to tell. So I would say, and the cramping, is it a gripping kind of, like spasmy kind of?
A little bit. It's subtle, but I don't get it with other foods.
Okay, so try it with the cocoyo, try going with less. Because I don't know that the probiotics would have that effect up there. They usually are not going to do their thing till below. Although if you do have SIBO and it starts, and there are some organisms growing there, those or the probiotics could feed them.
Okay.
Right, so start it, like try it with a quarter of a jar. And just see if that happens. It just may be quantity, because if it is the probiotics, then it could be quantity.
Okay, perfect. Thank you.
Yeah, great. You're welcome. All right, everybody, time to go. Have a great rest of the day, and I'll see you on Saturday. Have a great rest of the week. Bye-bye. Thank you.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
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 It's 2 tablespoons of cocoyo with a fair amount of coconut yogurt. What, you mean like homemade coconut yogurt? I'm not sure what the difference is, David. Coconut, cocoyo and coconut yogurt, I think of as the same things. Yeah. Okay. All right. Bye-bye, everybody.